Wednesday, May 2nd, you are listening to KCPR San Luis Obispo, 91.3 FM. You're tuned in to Press Start every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. We talk about games, the gaming industry, what's happening, what's hot, what's not, and also a little personal business as far as what we're playing, etc. So I hope you'll stick around for the next hour, because we got a lot to cover. Lots been happening in the past week. And I was up late last night. That's nothing new for this show. I'm up late all the time now, because ever since Microsoft moved Xbox Live Arcade release to really early Wednesday morning, I stay up really late. But it was worth it last night, let me tell you. I'll talk about that, and we'll talk about many other things coming up on the show today. David Jaffe flipped his lid yesterday after calling All Cars, his downloadable PS3 game that he released. Didn't receive the scores that many were hoping it would have. So he kind of went ballistic, and now we got some drama like only the gaming industry can bring you. And if you know anything about David Jaffe, he's the guy who created the God of War series, you know, the guy who directed the first game. He has a tendency to speak his mind when he senses that things aren't going according to what he believes in, and so we will talk about that, of course. It's gonna get crazy, and there's a lot of swearing also if you know David Jaffe, but we'll try and keep it friendly to all listeners. Speaking of God of War, new God of War game coming out, we'll talk about that. Some additions to the Xbox Live Arcade. You know, in recent weeks it's come to my attention that maybe I focus a little bit too much on the Xbox Live Arcade. Maybe I don't give as much time as some people would like to other download services. You know, I don't own a Wii or PS3, and that's just because the limitations of my finances and also limitations of availability, thanks Nintendo. But I try and get at least some coverage of each platform's downloadable content every week. And so I haven't, you know, I'll start with the Wii this week just to try and balance things out, but I do apologize if I have more to say about Xbox Live stuff, because I own an Xbox 360, I'm personally more interested in it. So just as the state of things right now, that's how it goes. But in any case, this week on the Wii Virtual Console, I will start with that when we talk about all that goodness. Also on the show today, you'll be hearing, musically, my new favorite game soundtrack, at least for the moment, and that is Hexic HD. which is a puzzle game that comes pre-installed on Xbox 360s, and it's basically a high-def version of Hexic, which you can play online for free in many places. Essentially, how the game works, it's a grid filled with colored hexagons, and your job is to rotate groups of three hexagons to match three hexagons together in a sort of cluster pattern to make like a triangle of hexagons of the same color. You do that, they disappear, and the hexagons from above fall down and occupy the space those hexagons were before. It's a really neat game. It's really fun, actually. Challenging. For a puzzle game, you know, it's not the best I've ever played, but it's certainly enjoyable and a good time killer. I spent a couple hours playing it a few days ago. But the soundtrack that they added to Hexic HD is just amazing. It's an ambient, atmospheric soundtrack. So it's very minimal in musical complexity, but it's very enjoyable to listen to, especially if you just want to zone out and play a puzzle game. Or, you know, the guy who does it, Jerry Schroeder, he made it available for download on the internet for free. So if you like what you hear today, you can certainly find that one pretty easily. The Hexic HD soundtrack. And that's what you'll be hearing. I also want to get to the mailbag, because we did get an email last week, and if you've listened to the show, I have been remiss, I must say. I have been remiss in getting the updates in a timely fashion to the site, which is where you can download the show, subscribe to the podcast, and leave comments, and that is located at pressstart.thefighting.org. Oh, that's the site Dave runs and I help contribute to. I just, you know, ever since Dave left, I haven't, he usually did all the weekly updates, and I have not. I've just been just really busy with many different things, and that's kind of low on my list of priorities. But I do apologize, and I will get last week's show up, and I will get this week's show up in a timely fashion. And I know you said that, I know I said that last week, but I promise, this time, it's true. You'll have to take my word for it. I'm trustworthy. In any case, mailbag from Paul. Hey guys, I listened to your discussion on the Final Fantasy 13 project and your reaction to Square's intent for a 10-year project. Hadn't heard the length before, wow. The news left me skeptical and a tad pessimistic, but Dave's view did have a good point. If the direction is indeed an expanded universe deal, that might interest me. The mythos does seem a little gimped, though. Not that Square would ever do it, but I'd be far more interested if these games were developed under a new name. Square's next-gen franchise, if you will. With that, you get the promise of an entirely new world while preventing the FF name from becoming tarnished or losing its meaning. It might be just a name, yet it gives the impression of 13 being little more than a product line. How about some different expectations? Paul, I couldn't help but agree with you. What happened to the Squaresoft of old? Well, they got bought by Enix, but what happened to the minds at Squaresoft? The late 1990s and early 2000-ish was really, I would say it was the peak of Squaresoft, the company, because they had, they did have remakes, they had Chrono Cross, they had, Legend of Mana, but they also had tons of new games, two new intellectual properties, new stuff coming out that you hadn't seen before. They weren't making Final Fantasy games. They weren't even making Final Fantasy spin-offs. They were still in the numbered series. I think at that point they were up to, 8 or 9. It was an event still. And like I said last week, to take Final Fantasy 13 and make it a 10-year compilation mythos with multiple different games sort of devalues what the established line of Final Fantasy was all about. It was like every couple of years you'd get a big epic RPG that was Final Fantasy. And there were no sequels, spin-offs, handheld iterations. It was an event. And now we have Final Fantasy 13 for 10 years. That is a long time. 10 years ago, I was I was playing my Nintendo 64 and going to middle school. That is, I mean, to imagine that if a game had started then, a game like Mythos had started then and ended now today, I don't even know if I could stand that much. But I do agree with your point, Paul. Getting back to your email, I would love to see. You know, I'm not adverse to, I'm not opposed to having a 10-year project. But I, too, would like to see some new stuff from Square Enix. I'm tired of, you know, Mana spinoffs and Final Fantasy spinoffs, and that's it. I mean, we have Dragon Quest, but Dragon Quest has been the same, well, very similar to previous iterations, except for the new one coming out for the DS. But otherwise, what happened to the Chrono series? What happened to, you know, remember Threads of Fate for the PS1? What happened to, what else has Square come out with in the last, you know, in that turn of the millennium era? They had a lot of great new stuff that could definitely be, especially now, explored on next-gen stuff, on next-gen consoles, or even the handhelds if they wanted. I mean, it's just not, it doesn't scream thought or originality. And I'm sure the Final Fantasy 13 10-year compilation will probably have some quality stuff in it, but you know, that remains to be seen. And I agree with you, Paul. I would love to see a different name on it. Keep Final Fantasy sort of sacred, if you will, and its own sort of thing. I mean, it's Square Enix. People will buy it. People, you know, you see that logo, people buy just games for that logo. I mean, you look at Kingdom Hearts, probably one of the most overrated, and I know I'm going to catch flack for that, game series in the last 5 years, and it sold millions of copies. So, in any case, Paul, thank you for emailing the show. I do appreciate the feedback, and that's Paul from Down Under, from us, all the way down in the Southern Hemisphere. I believe, Paul, if I'm not mistaken, this will be, I'll give an official shout-out to you this week for emailing, and I know that you do listen to the show quite often, so thank you. Shout-out to you. I do apologize. You're either from Australia or New Zealand, and I can't remember which, and I think it's Australia, but sort of reversed. I think about, you know, Australia, Southern Hemisphere, the seasons being reversed. You know, especially if you live in like a Minnesota or a northern U.S. state, and it's like the dead of winter, 30 below, freezing outside, and the people in Australia are going to the beach because it's summertime in December. It's such a strange to mentally go to where the sun is shining and it's warm in December. It's just odd. You're all backwards down there in Australia. So thank you again for the email. I do appreciate it. And if you would like to get in touch with the show, send an email with your thoughts, with your comments, with your questions. You want to get involved. You want to tell me to shut up. Press start.thefighting.org. You can leave comments or you can email us pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. Or if you have Gmail, you can also open one of those little Gmail chat windows and do the, you know, IM thing. That works too while the show's going on. That's always fun. We get listeners who do that. So don't be afraid. Press startkcpr@gmail.com. All right, like I said, today you will be hearing stuff off the Hexic HD soundtrack by Jerry Schroeder. Very minimalistic. It's nothing upbeat. Nothing too, you know, nothing going to get you to want to go jog or, you know, whatever, energized. But after we come back from this music break, we'll jump into the news. And we're talking about a lot of stuff, so stick around. If you want to get your comments in, once again, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. You are listening to Press Start here on KCPR San Luis Obispo 91.3 FM. That was Jerry Schroeder's work off the Hexic HD soundtrack called Cobblers, and I will play some more for you later on this morning. Be here till 11 o'clock once again. I mentioned at the top of the show that we would start with some Nintendo Virtual Console news, and I do not plan to disappoint you this week on the Wii Virtual Console. You guys got, all you gamers out there, you got the original Castlevania on the NES. That one came out. Also, Legend of the Mystical Ninja, which is one of the more cult hit game series. Really, in Nintendo history, definitely, but in really the gaming world as a whole, Legend of the Mystical Ninja, you know, not many people know about it, but the ones who do are really, really big fans, and a very Japanese game. But also, I played the one on the N64. That one was fun, but you know, Legend of the Mystical Ninja, you could see where it all began. That one also came out. And also Shockman, which is a TurboGrafx-16 title. That one came out on the Wii Virtual Console. You know, not the most amazing week ever, but Legend of Mystical Ninja, that's pretty neat. And if you need something to play for the Wii, because I know most of you do, since no games are coming out for it, there you go. The other Nintendo news, actually, that happened last week is that Nintendo bought a developer, and this is something they haven't done since 2001 when they picked up Retro Studios for the Metroid Prime series. But Nintendo late last week, they bought Monolith Soft from Namco. They purchased an 80% share of the company, Monolith Soft, and Bandai Namco has 16% of the company. So Nintendo now owns a majority in Monolith Soft, and Monolith Soft has developed games such as Namco x Capcom, a Japanese-only strategy RPG featuring the characters from Namco and Capcom games. They also helped Tri-Crescendo with the Baten Kaito series, and they're also working on the upcoming Disaster Day of Crisis for the Wii. So this is pretty big, Nintendo acquiring a dev studio. And, you know, Nintendo must be pretty impressed with the folks over at Monolith Soft with the work they're doing on Disaster Day of Crisis. Otherwise, you know, to go out and pick up this development studio, I mean, it's a relatively unknown game. You know, unless you're really following the news, I highly doubt the casual Wii owner has even heard of Disaster Day of Crisis, known what it's about. But, you know, if Nintendo thought that they were doing a bang-up job on the game, they might have purchased the studio. And that's good, because Monolith Soft, you know, they've also done the Xenosaga games. And if Dave were here, he would start, you know, cheering for joy, because he loves those. But, you know, Monolith Soft, they're a pretty talented group. They've been hit or miss, mainly with the Xenosaga series. But, you know, they have some good stuff. And it's, when you're working with Nintendo and you got a good working relationship, and you're being supplied by Nintendo, you know, assets, money, plans, you know, there's a lot of good people, bright people at Nintendo, especially in Japan. So I would only expect that stuff from Monolith Soft in the future will be of a much higher quality than they've had in the past, because they just have more access. I mean, Namco is a pretty, pretty large publisher, but they're no Nintendo. So good news. Definitely good news. And the other thing, too, is that a lot of people are getting confused between Monolith Soft, which is a Japanese company, and Monolith, which is an American company that shares the same name. The difference is Monolith, the American company, developed games like Fear and Condemned: Criminal Origins. Those are both first-person shooter or first-person games, and were not developed. Nintendo does not own them. They own Monolith Soft, which is the Japanese company. So there was some confusion there initially. Just wanted to clear that up. The other Nintendo news Got a full day of Nintendo here. You know, I didn't actually officially kick off the news, so let's officially get to the news. There we go. Sorry about that. Nintendo announced their Japanese Wii release schedule for 2007, which includes every game. They say that each of the following games is going to come out in Japan in 2007 for the Nintendo Wii. So, you know, in the U.S., and if you're listening from Canada, God help you. No, actually, I love Canada. But if you're listening from North America, and you might be saying, well, we don't know when any of these games are coming out. And you'd be right. We still don't know. There's no dates yet. And the fact that Nintendo announced these games for Japan 2007 leads me to believe personally that some of these will not be coming out until 2008. In any case, here they are. DK Jet, that's coming out definitely in the U.S. and in Japan. That's the next game that's going to be coming out from Nintendo, I believe. The rest of the list looks like this. Wii Health Pack, Disaster Day of Crisis, Mario Party 8, Project Hammer, Wii Music, Super Mario Galaxy, Smash Brothers Brawl, Battalion Wars 2, Forever Blue, Mario Strikers Charge, Metroid Prime 3 Corruption, and Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games. All of those coming out later this year in Japan. Now, if you ask me, and I know some of you might have, Metroid Prime 3 Corruption will probably make it out this year. It's had some delays. It leads me to suspect they're adding some sort of online functionality to the game, but I believe that will be out this year because Retro Studios, located in Austin, Texas, and usually the Metroid Prime games have come out here first. Other ones, not so sure about. Mario Galaxy, I think we'll see that late this year, if it comes out this year. I could also see Mario Galaxy getting pushed to very early 2008. And same with Smash Brothers Brawl. I think whichever one comes out at the end of the year, be it Smash Brothers or Mario Galaxy, the other one is going to be pushed until after the new year. You know, just because we haven't heard a whole lot about Smash Brothers really at all since E3 last year. And you would think, I mean, as probably one of Nintendo's best-selling games on the GameCube, which was the Smash Brothers Melee, you would think that they would have been hyping it if it was coming out this year. I would think. You know, E3 is still not here, and in fact, it's been pushed back to June now, which is kind of sad, because usually at this time of year, you know, it's all about E3, it's all about what's coming out, and it feels like there's a void. I'm sitting here. Well, one, I'm sitting here, and I'm not in Los Angeles like I was last year, so that's kind of a shame. But two, I'm sitting here, and I mean, it's been no major announcement. No, there's no anticipation. There's not that lightning, you know? There's not that spark that just gets you excited because there's going to be major game announcements, major stuff shown, really to set the tone for the rest of the year, and that's absent now. So this whole E3 thing has been a debacle in my eyes, but what can you do? They're just missing that something, but not all is lost because Square Enix is having a Square Enix party next week. They're going to announce a new Star Ocean game, allegedly, and they're also going to showcase a lot of the new Final Fantasy stuff. Don't know if they'll have time to show 10 years worth of Final Fantasy, but nonetheless, they'll be showing a lot of the different Final Fantasy games coming out. Or that have come out in the past couple of months. So that's next week. But there's really no centralized feeling of excitement right now. And that's kind of a shame. But in any case, I would say Galaxy comes out this November, right around Thanksgiving-ish. And I would say Smash Brothers doesn't come out till, you know, early 2008. That's my take on the situation. But if you own a Wii, that's a pretty darn good lineup, I would have to say. Pretty darn good. All right, moving on, we've got news about a new God of War game coming to the PSP, like I mentioned. It's called Chains of Olympus. It's going to hit the PSP later this year. It takes place in the 10 years before the first God of War game, and this is the time in the sort of God of War storyline where Kratos, the main character, was serving the gods of Olympus in some capacity. So that is exciting. And actually, if you go to the website, I mentioned this last week and I didn't get a chance to watch the trailer and I did apologize, but I watched it. You should watch it too. We've got the story up at gamesarefun.com, still on the front page. And also, if you go to the official site, chainsofolympus.com, you can get a free demo for the game. So if you want to check it out, the demo will be available shortly. And speaking of God of War, now this is my favorite story of the week, and you're not going to believe this, but God of War. Okay, so let's rewind all the way back to March 1st, 2007. March 1st, Athens, Greece. Sony Computer Entertainment Europe having a party to celebrate the launch of God of War 2 in the next week or so. Okay, so you've got a God of War party going on. It's a theme party. So it's that traditional Athens Greek atmosphere, complete with a Kratos dude, guy dressed up as Kratos, handing out garlands, and topless women feeding grapes to the partygoers. Sounds like a fun party. Now, speaking of rewinding, let's rewind, a couple thousand years to ancient Greece. So at this party is a goat carcass. And this goat carcass, missing its head, or at least the attachment that goes from head to body. So it's been sort of decapitated a little bit. This was a real goat. And its stomach on the inside is, what looks to be intestines. So imagine someone decapitated a goat, sliced it open, and put it at your party. That kind of kills the mood a little bit, especially if I'm being fed grapes and given garlands. But in any case, the British tabloids have just had a wonderful time with this story. Basically, a write-up of the party appeared in the official PlayStation magazine in Europe, showing basically uncensored pics of both the women and the goat. And some animal rights activists got really angry about this. They did not like the fact that there was a dead animal at the party. They accused Sony of killing a live goat, in a sort of disrespectful and gruesome manner. And they also didn't like the fact that the people at the party invited everyone who was in attendance to eat from the goat's intestines. That sounds good. In any case, Sony, has been in a little bit of trouble over this. They released a statement, basically said, no, that's not what happened, despite what the pictures may have you believe. The goat was actually killed beforehand at a butcher shop, and then it was bought specifically for the party. And that the intestines were not actually the goat intestines. They were a baked traditional Greek dish made to look like intestines to sort of keep with the theme of Athens, of ancient Athens. In any case, the party, while a hit, was not so much of a hit in the animal rights community because of the images that came out. And Sony says they're launching an internal inquiry into the matter. Wish I could have been at that party, though. That would have been the theme party to end all theme parties. I've always wanted to have been fed grapes by someone. And that would have been a good opportunity. But I love God of War, too. I mean, I don't understand how it gets any better than that. You can send all angry comments about that my way. PressStartKCPR@gmail.com. A couple more stories real quick, and then we'll do some more from the Hexic HD soundtrack, and then we'll talk about, after that, David Jaffe goes ballistic. Ken Kutaragi resigns from Sony in his CEO and chairman of Sony Computer Entertainment position. Kutaragi, the father of the PlayStation. He sort of was the man behind the PlayStation and the PlayStation 2 and the PlayStation 3. He's stepping down from his executive role, but he's still going to be working with Sony. And Kaz Hirai is going to be taking Kutaragi's spot. Just a little blurb there for everyone's favorite subject, especially recently, the Sony management structure. Because, it's fashionable to hate Sony right now for whatever reason. There's a lot of bitter people out there. I'm not quite understanding. I don't understand why it's so fashionable to hate Sony right now. Just because the PS3 is too expensive for you to afford? Is that why you hate Sony? Just because, they decided to go with a hugely advanced technological approach in the system, and you don't have a job that pays you enough to be able to buy one? I don't have a job that pays me enough to buy a PS3 either. But I don't hate Sony for it. Or you might hate Sony for, you know, the arrogant comments they may have made in their PR speeches or their interviews about, you know, the demand for the PS3. Who cares? Who cares? I've met more people who are incensed about Sony saying, oh, well, you know, people can't find PS3s, they're being sold out. That was a couple months after launch. People are upset for them saying that when it was, you know, basically a lie. Who cares? Who cares? So the people, you know, I mean, companies, you know, do PR to put themselves in a good light all the time. That's what they do. That's, I mean, you got to show that you have some confidence. So you're, one, your investors invest in you, and two, consumers, to the consumers, it doesn't look like everything is out of control. And, you know, things very well may be out of control for the PS3 and all of that business. That's a whole nother issue. But you don't come out and say, hey, we're doing bad right now. That's just not the way the business world works. And people have actually, I mean, people are acting like Sony, like, killed their dog or their parents. I will never buy a PS3. I hate Sony. Long live Nintendo. Long live Microsoft. It's just a company. It's a company. They're a company that puts out a product, and they put out some quality products. They also don't put out, they also put out not so quality products. But the PS2, at least after the initial hardware designs, was a quality product. I mean, it had the best lineup of games of any system last gen. The PS1 sort of redefined, you know, they were the ones who brought 3D gaming really into popularity. And all of the sudden, now because the PS3 cost $600, because, you know, what is perceived to be arrogance, people are like, well, I hate Sony now. Well, I can't afford the PS3, so they're dumb. That's a great argument. That's a really, really great argument. Well, the Wii's only $250. Why, I mean, I don't need to spend that much to game. Sony's dumb. I can't afford their console. Okay. Yeah, that's as my philosophy teacher would say, I don't Sony is bad, boo. I don't understand the hate. I honestly don't understand. The PS3 is a nice looking machine. It's got some killer games coming out for it. Little Big Planet, Warhawk. Just don't hate to hate. Don't hate because it's popular. If there's a legitimate reason to hate, I'd like to hear it. Because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Sony hasn't killed my dog. Sony hasn't robbed my house. They're just a company that wants my money for a piece of electronic entertainment. And one of these days, I will pick up that piece of electronic entertainment. But I'm not going to hate them for charging the price that they are. It's just, that's the way a free market works. That's the way, you know, that's the way capitalism works. They can't, you know, they're not going to give a PS3 to everyone who wants one. This is not 1979 Soviet Union. The PS3 wasn't out then, of course, but you get the idea. Anyways, we'll be right back, so stick around. This is Press Start on KCPR, San Luis Obispo, 91.3 FM. We'll be right back. This is Press Start, the one and only you just heard off the Hexic HD soundtrack, Lubax, by Jerry Schroeder. And one other thing I wanted to add real quick to that little rant I went off on. Half of the free market economy, at least half, in my opinion, are consumers justifying their purchase by putting down that particular product's competitors. Because nothing is worse than wasting money on something that didn't turn out as great as you hoped it would. So you got to put all your, you know, it's a, if you don't put all your strength and will behind making a product succeed that you're behind, and the competitor beats you, well, look at that. Now you feel like you've wasted money, you made the wrong choice. No one likes to feel like they made the wrong choice. But sometimes you're going to make the wrong choice. And instead of, you know, I would like to see, instead of whining about it, instead of becoming a zealous, you know, product advocate, instead of trying to put down the competitor, why don't you just suck it up and admit to yourself, I made the mistake. I bought the wrong product. I didn't buy the right product. Or alternatively, you can just say, hey, look, I'm going to buy products. My enjoyment doesn't come from whether or not it succeeds. My enjoyment comes from whether or not I take enjoyment out of it. That's also a way to circumvent that and, you know, be a lot less annoying to people around you in the process. A quick blurb, one news story that I wanted to add real quick. D3, same people who brought you Earth Defense Force 2017 and Puzzle Quest, Challenge of the Warlords, say they are bringing 3 more games to the Xbox Live Arcade. Those games, Mad Tracks, a racing game, Rocket Bowl, the first bowling game on the Xbox Live Arcade, and Puzzle Quest, Challenge of the Warlords, all 3 of those coming to the Xbox Live Arcade later this year. That's happy news because Puzzle Quest is one of the best games to come out so far in 2007. If you don't own Puzzle Quest yet, for the PSP or the DS, this is your chance to pick up a console version. It will undoubtedly look better than the DS version. The only thing the DS version has over the other consoles is the touchscreen control. It is far more intuitive, I imagine, than using a cursor. But in any case, more Puzzle Quest, never a bad thing. That's coming later this year. You can thank D3. The story that I talked about, the top of the hour, David Jaffe, flips his lid. All right, so apparently, David Jaffe's Calling All Cars, it's a downloadable PlayStation Network game for the PS3. Sort of a car combat game. It's kind of like it kind of reminds me of like an animated version of Twisted Metal. Sort of like a less dark and violent version of Twisted Metal. And, you know, it's sort of cartoony graphics, and he's been working on it for a while. This is his next project after God of War. It got pushed back. It was supposed to come out tomorrow. The release date got pushed back, and blog/news site, Joystick, you may know them. They're more of a blog. They, when they were covering the story, there's a little paragraph, little blurb that said, like a little girl struggling to keep her favorite doll out of the garage sale bin, David Jaffe is returning to the world of Calling All Cars to make some fixes and revise some of the criticisms the title received via reviews, even after announcing that the title has gone gold, according to a post he left on the NeoGAF forums. Well, the game is being delayed. It was reviewed by various outlets. I think GameSpot gave it a 6.7. You know, not the highest score ever. Sort of, you know, it falls in like the average range. Although, you know, this is another topic for another time, but what makes a game a 6.7 versus a 6.6 or a 6.8? Who knows? In any case, that sort of Joystick's little jab at David Jaffe. Jaffe responds on his own personal blog, and I quote, F you guys, go F yourselves, what other developer makes an effing change to a game when a review, IGN's in this case, has a good valid point and is willing to open the effing code up at the risk of more bugs to make the game better? amazing. But hey, you guys are great. You guys rock. I hope Kotaku effing puts your expletive out of business. Wannabe expletive. And if you were actual journalists, you would have read the expletive quote I posted on NeoGAF where I said, because of the two bugs we needed to fix, not because I was afraid of the bargain bin, we had a window of opportunity to fix the magnet problem. Expletive, total effing expletive. So he had like a couple sentences in there that were swear-free. And so I guess he wasn't very pleased at Joystick over their little jab at calling him a girl, a little girl, and sort of putting... He came back with the smackdown. David Jaffe also said that he's not going to be blogging anymore because apparently some of the stuff he said has upset people in the industry that he cares about and that he's doesn't want that. So he won't be sort of online anymore. Although he contributes to NeoGAF a lot. I see him post sometimes in threads about different things, and I post there too. It's, you know, he's a cool guy that he's talking with the common people, but he did not like what Joystick had to say. And, you know, this is one of those things where how do you draw the line between, like, a gaming, you know, blog versus a news site? Joystick most definitely is a blog. Kotaku most definitely is a blog. But a lot of the times, they mask themselves as news sites. And this is sort of where, I mean, this is sort of the emerging trend now with media, with journalism, especially online. You're getting a lot of crossover between straight-up reporting, and in this case, Joystick was insulting, but also, you know, personal interjection into a story. And so, you know, on the issue of Jaffe calling, you know, and if you were actual journalist, et cetera, et cetera, well, I would never make the mistake of assuming that someone like Kotaku or Joystick are actual journalists. In the traditional sense that, you know, they research and they're unbiased relayers of information. I would never assume that. They may be new school journalists, which is sort of how things are evolving, but very unprofessional, especially for a site that's as widely read as Joystick, very unprofessional for them to come out and call, you know, call out David Jaffe like that. On the other hand, it's also, I mean, he did it via his blog, but it's also, I mean, you know, David Jaffe has never been one to sort of, I guess, lay down. He's quite outspoken, and he likes to use vulgar words a lot. He's never one to sort of, he's always one to speak his mind and, you know, lay it down where it needs to be laid down if he feels that someone's disrespecting him or someone's got it wrong. Whether you agree with him or not, he speaks his mind. I don't want to say that it's unprofessional of him. I mean, maybe in the way he said it, but he did do it via his blog, so that's a little different. You know, it just, that's who David Jaffe is, as we have all seen. And so, I personally think, now here's my personal take on this. If developers, see, this is what I like. A developer got a bad review for his game. Before release, he delays the game, he goes back, and he makes the fixes that the reviewers had with it. So while this does sort of delegitimize the review in some ways, he's also caring about making it a better product for people who want to play it. You know, maybe now after he's fixed some of the stuff, maybe now it'll be from a 6.7 to a 7 or a 7.5 or whatever arbitrary ranking. But it will be a better game, more than likely, because he's going back and, you know, touching up some things that needed to be touched up. And I wish more developers would do that. It sort of, you know, delegitimizes a review, you know, since a review is supposed to be of the final build of the game. But like he says, if you have an opportunity to fix some things, then I think I'd like to see more of that. It kind of reminds me of the Bubble Bobble DS fiasco, where the review build, and the final build for that matter, had a huge game-breaking glitch where you couldn't get past level 30. And there were supposed to be like 99 levels in that game. And you know, it just was trashed in the reviews because you can't get past level 30. There's a glitch that stops the game from working. And the company, as far as I know, never fixed that glitch. So, you know, copies of that game are still pretty gimped, as far as I'm aware. But maybe if they had caught it earlier, they could have gone in and fixed up the code and made the game playable again. That would have served as a better experience for the consumer, for the gamer, and that's who the industry is all about. So there you go. Once again, if you got feedback on any of this, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com is the email address. We're going to take one more music break. When I come back, I'll tell you about why I stayed up so late last night. A board game came to the Xbox Live Arcade, and I am psyched to get back into it later today. Stick around. We are not done yet. This is Press Start on KCPR. Bad Back off the Hectic HD soundtrack. Real quick, I promised you last night, Microsoft released Settlers of Catan, the board game from Germany, the influential board game, the icon. It's out on Xbox Live Arcade. It's pretty darn awesome. I had never played Catan before, but I got a chance. The game is deep. I enjoyed it quite a lot, and I will be playing it a lot in the upcoming days. I got a train so that when it's time to get online, I will be able to take some people. But if you want to challenge me, if you want to pick on Justin the Noob, that would be me. I've never played Catan except for one game I played last night. You can challenge me. My gamer tag is on the website, pressstart.thefighting.org. Check out Settlers of Catan for the XBLA if you own a 360. That's it for this week. Next week, I will be back, and hopefully you will be too. If you have questions, comments in the meantime, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com is the website, or is the email address, website, pressstart.thefighting.org. You can find my gamer tag there, etc. Leave comments, download the show. I'll get last week's show up as well. Thank you for listening. Game over.